for them to have nice weather. According to Carlos, he could probably mention it, but they've had a nice little bit of a rain throughout the week. It's like we've had rain practically for 5 or 6 days here. But anyways, like I said, it's nice and clear and it's beautiful, and really appreciate having God blessed us here on his Sabbath with a nice day. So with that, I'm going to ask Mr. Carlos Martinez if you join us here for services, and we're looking forward to the sermon. Mr. Martinez.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. Good afternoon, brethren. And I hope everyone is having a great and restful Sabbath day so far. I know we are here in Puerto Rico, and pray you are too, wherever you might be. And like Mr. Russell said, our weather in Puerto Rico this week has been fairly nice. Temperature's a little bit cooler than usual, still some humidity. Definitely just a little bit of rain, not as much. Mostly November through February is definitely when we get the most amount of rain, so it's almost that time. But it's a beautiful, cloudy, windy, blue sky day, so we're blessed to have that. Well, brethren, today we are experiencing some of the most troubling times we have seen in our lives. The world is collapsing around us with everything going on right now, especially as the news sees it fit to their narrative. Also, we are in the midst of the most particularly important times in our lives, as well because of everything surrounding us. For example, today is a celebration of the world, and those who take part in man's so-called holidays, as it is the case for Halloween today, a pagan day, which we know comes from Satan and his demons, causing everyone to be involved in something that seems to not affect people because of the harmless candy giving that's done. Also, there are families putting up Christmas decorations inside their houses and outside as well, and justify it by saying that it relieves the stress caused by the COVID-19 virus going around the world. And stores across the country are also doing the same thing. This Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020, will be the most important election in United States history, because the state of the republic and the very freedom we enjoy daily are at stake. And we have seen the notorious campaign run by the Democrats, or Democrats, as they should be called, not shy away from a radical left agenda they want to pursue to fundamentally transform America from the blessings God has given this nation since the founding fathers wrote the most important piece of legislation ever created in America, the Declaration of Independence. In addition, the U.S. Constitution, or the left, seems like any other piece of paper that can be randomly changed to fit their lifestyle and implement it around the country by saying they want to change our freedoms with the First, Second Amendments, and quite frankly, all of them. They want to pack the Supreme Court with more than 9 justices because they cannot accept the fact that President Trump has nominated and has been able to confirm 3 Supreme Court justices in his first term. And the left-wing media and their people are nothing but sore losers. Finally, they want to add states to the Union, whether it is Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, split California into 5 states. and therefore have complete control of Congress for generations to come. We must truly pray for our nation, brethren, for God's intervention, and that His hand is not put away from this nation, because it would be disastrous. I mention all of this because the other aspect I want to mention is that we are all in the time in between the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day that we just took part recently, and the start of the Spring Holy Days in 2021 with the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread. This specific period is the most challenging for us as God's called out children because of how the world is shaping up to be and how our response needs to be, because everything learned throughout the sermon from the Sabbath, our own study and meditation of God's word is put to the test because of what Satan and his demons set out to do into this world. We are truly living in the most challenging times of our lives, and our commitment to God's word, God's ways, and God's statutes are more important than what the world out there has in store for us. I've mentioned all of these things that are happening now around us, without obviously taking into consideration the day-to-day struggles, problems, and trials we face around us each day. These next several months are crucial because we are to be the example against what the world has in store for us. And we must be ready, spiritually, for the battle ahead. I titled the sermon for today, Maintain Your Focus. Maintain Your Focus. No matter the outcome from the elections this upcoming week, no matter what happens to the nation when the year 2021 starts, no matter what happens in our lives, with our families, with our jobs, with our health, and with us in general, we as Christians and spiritual Israel must maintain our focus on the things from God and not what man wants us to focus on. It is easy to lose focus on what we need to do because, honestly, all we hear, read, and watch in our homes and in our spare time is nothing but negative news and propaganda. We really do not watch something that is uplifting, and rarely does anything good get published anymore because it is an ongoing and never-ending cycle of constant attacks from one side and perspective to another. However, as we will see throughout the sermon today, there are important characteristics that we must take into consideration, especially when it comes to our spiritual growth, that will help us maintain our focus on God and not the things of this world. Satan and his demons want nothing more than to completely distract us from our way of life with God, and from the promises and protection written in God's Word, the very Bible we have in our laps today. Before I continue, I would like to ask you four questions. And these questions will serve as the main point we will be talking about in the sermon for today. Is our heart focused in the right place? Do we focus when we meditate and study God's Word daily? Do we focus on respecting the institutions set by man due to God's will? Are we focusing on the things from man on this earth? Or are we focusing on the things from above, from our heavenly Creator? I ask you these questions because we will go through each one, one by one, and have them in your thoughts and mind as we move along with the sermon today. Let's look at the word focus with some background information first. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word focus has several different meanings. One, to cause to be concentrated. Two, to concentrate attention or effort. And three, a state or condition permitting clear perception or understanding. Also, the word focus does not have a literal translation to Strong's Concordance, but there are two distinct words closely associated with it. Strong's Concordance 3713, from the Greek word oregō, which is spelled O-R-E-G-O, meaning to stretch out, to reach after, to yearn for. And Strong's Concordance 2001, from the Greek word episkuo, which is spelled E-P-I-S-C-H-U-O, meaning to grow stronger. Let's begin today's sermon in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 8 through 11. Here, we will read about the time Jesus was approached by the scribes and Pharisees from Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 through 11. Reading out of the Modern English Version for today. It says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, presents the first topic for today's sermon, and that is the concept of our hearts being in the right place or not. This verse represents the element of how man can drift away from the ways of God and only put into practice our focus should be on keeping our heart in the correct state of not losing our attention, of just speaking and talking about the Word of God, but being a doer of the Word as well. Let's turn over to the Old Testament now, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back into the place from where I caused you to be carried away captive." The prophet Jeremiah offers a unique and familiar verse to all of us regarding our focus on our hearts. Jeremiah was inspired by God to write these words for us because our hearts will be delivered from evil if we diligently seek God with all of our heart and all of our soul. God will deliver us from any and all evil that would otherwise be upon us. And He will protect us because God loves us. And if we remain focused on Him and His ways, there can be nothing in this world that can separate us from the love of God in the first place. Jeremiah understood this concept, and we too as well need to put into practice this aspect because of the importance of knowing that the ways of God will help us surpass anything and everything that is thrown in our direction. We must remain focused in our hearts first, because that is where our love for God begins, with our innermost self. Let's continue here in the book of Jeremiah. This time, chapter 24. Jeremiah, chapter 24, beginning in verse 4 through verse 7. Here, we will read a familiar story to all of us regarding the good figs and bad figs. It says, "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, like these good figs, so I will acknowledge those who are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set my eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them up and not pull them down. And I will plant them and not flood them up. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they will be my people, and I will be their God. For they will return to me with their whole heart. These words, Rita's read in Jeremiah, also present a unique aspect, especially when it comes to having our hearts focused on God. The verses allude to how God will protect us, shield us from harm, and not let us fall down like the bad things. If our heart knows God, and we devote our complete heart and mind to His way, there are always trying times for us ahead. And this period of time I mentioned earlier is no exception. We must make sure that our heart is fully committed to God's ways, because God will protect us from any and all harm that would become part of our lives. We cannot just seek God when things go bad. We must make sure that our heart is right with Him every single day of our lives, with no exceptions, because God does not ever forget about us. Let us also never forget Him. Let's look at the second element and question for the sermon. And that is, if we are focusing when we meditate and study God's Word daily. Let's turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Second Timothy, chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, remind them of these things, commanding them before the Lord that they not argue about words, which leads to nothing of value and to the destruction of those who hear them. Study to show yourself approved by God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The words written in Paul's second letter to Timothy outline the premise of knowing that we need to show ourselves worthy of God by studying His Word. Our focus daily should be on reading, studying, and meditating on God's Word, because it is an important component of our lives. This task demonstrates our love for God, because His Word is an area of focus for our Christian way of being. We are to set the example of following the Word of God, and not petty arguments of mankind that have in some instances no merit or relevance to what God commands us to do. The study and meditation of God's Holy Bible is extremely important for our spiritual growth every single day. Let's turn over to the book of Psalms, and we'll look at several different verses there. Psalm 1, verses 14 and 15. Psalms chapter 91, verses 14 and 15. It says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. Let's turn over several pages now to Psalms chapter 19, verses 7 through 10. Psalms chapter 19, verses 7 through 10. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And dropping down to verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. These words written from David and inspired by God are here to deliver an important message for us today. The word of God for David during his time on this earth was an inspiration to make sure we understand that God will not forsake us. If we thoroughly follow his word and instructions set before us, as they are evident from Scripture. David writes about God delivering us from trouble when we pay attention to his study of the word. Also, as we just read in Psalms 19 and verse 7, in knowing that the law of the Lord is perfect. And in verse 10, where the word of God needs to be desired more than anything from us, including anything mankind has done, made, or even the physical things of this earth. We cannot be focused on our Christian values, commandments, and way of life with God if we allow ourselves to be distracted from God's way, and we let ourselves be influenced by mankind's way. There is nothing on this earth more important than God's instruction book, the Bible. And it is important for all of us to know and apply that in our lives, brethren. Let's turn over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Proverbs, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, my son, attend to my wisdom, and bow your ear to my understanding. that you may regard discretion, and that your lips may keep knowledge. Let's go back to Psalms once again. This time, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. A very familiar set of verses to all of us, as it is one of the most recognizable songs in our hymnal. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish." These two previous verses, written by David in Psalm and Solomon in Proverbs, paint a picture that needs to be inside of us at all times. We read about inclining our ear to God's ways and understanding through the Holy Scriptures. Also, we read about the importance of meditating on God's Word day and night. We need to shift our focus into meditating on God's Word when we wake up in the morning, that God gives us a new day filled with life, and before going to bed at night, giving Him thanks for the day we just had, and all the blessings and mercy He has for us. Study and meditation allows us to focus on what needs to be done in the first place. And it is important to know the essence of the impact this has in our lives. Let's look at the third area for today's sermon. And that is that we must focus on respecting God's appointed authorities and institutions. This area is particularly tricky and interesting. We see time and time again that mankind does not have God's set ways in mind when making decisions in politics, economics, social issues, and religious beliefs. What better example than our nation here in the United States today? There is an ongoing battle as to how God should be allowed or not in our schools, government buildings, and the continued persecution against families that want to have religious gatherings in the first place. All of these situations would want to make us not have any regard for what mankind does. But God does appoint the leaders of nations through the election process in each and every country around the world. And the people will get and deserve the ruler they have. We pray God does not take His hand away from our United States of America. Let's turn over to the book of 1 Peter and pick up a few verses there. 1 Peter, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 through verse 3. First Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore, put away all wickedness, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow, if it is true that you have experienced that the Lord is good." And dropping down to verses 13 through 17, here in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Submit yourselves to every human authority for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and to praise those who do right. For it is the will of God that by doing right you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free people, do not use your liberty as a covering for evil, but live as servants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." The institutions set forth by mankind are something that God takes into consideration, especially when it comes to drawing our focus into what has been created. For example, the verses clearly state that we are to subject ourselves to the authority God has set before us. However, God and His Son, Jesus the Christ, do not expect us to go away from our way of life just to please mankind. We must focus our attention on doing the right thing, always, no matter what is put before us from mankind. There are clear expectations from God and Christ for us to follow, and we should honor every person that comes before our life, but not without having the fear of God as well in every decision-making process we make. Let's continue in 1 Peter. This time, let's turn over to chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. It says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober and watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him firmly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Brethren, these instructions are clear and present for us today, just as it was during the times it was written. We must make sure, particularly as it relates to the institutions of man, that we do not underestimate what mankind attempts to do to us each and every day of our lives. Satan and his demons are constantly consistently out there. In this world, influencing the very people that are part of the institutions set forth by man. We, as God's elect, must resist anything and everything associated with what is thrown in our direction, because we cannot lose focus of what God and Christ want us to do in certain situations. Also, the same afflictions that happen to me and you today are the same afflictions that our brethren before us faced. And we must take after the example set by Jesus the Christ and focus on God. Let's look at the fourth and final area we will look at for today's sermon. And that is, we need to focus on the things that are from above, from our heavenly Creator. Let's turn over to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, "If you then were raised with Christ, desire those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." There is no better or clearer verse to allude to the things from above that we should be striving for every day that God gives us life. We need to be following the example of Jesus the Christ, because he sits at the right hand of God in heaven. We are sometimes preoccupied because of our human nature with the things that are from this earth sometimes. Whether it would be family issues, problems at work, the economy, what we will do, where the world is heading, and our mind loses the focus it needs to have everything left in God's hands to begin with. Our complete and total focus needs to be on the things of God first and foremost, because nothing that is physically on this earth can replace what God can give us spiritually. We sometimes think that we need more of the things of the world, but God is clear in his word in that we need to strive for the things from above, and God will provide for all our needs at any given time when he deems it right. Let's turn back over to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give an answer to every man who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, with gentleness and fear. Have a good conscience, so that evildoers who speak evil of you and falsely accuse your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, that you suffer for doing good than for doing evil. What a unique and interesting verse and command for us to do, especially in today's day and age, brethren. It is incredibly complicated as a Christian to remain cool, calm, and collective, especially if there are people out there, including one's own family, close relatives, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and anyone really who attempts to do us wrong. We are human, but we also know, as God's called and chosen, that we have a responsibility, a duty, and an obligation to look the other way, especially when things go bad in our lives. The hope that these verses we just read allude to are part of an important part of our lives, in that we must handle ourselves with gentleness and fear, and not worry about what people that are plotting evil are after, because God and Christ are watching our every single move, and know every single one of our thoughts. The word of God is clear in that it is better, especially during extenuating circumstances, that we focus on the things from above, even if it includes suffering for the things done the right way. And we cannot allow ourselves to deviate from our Christian character. We must ask God, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit to give us the guidance we need to overcome what the world throws in our direction. Let's turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our focus needs to be clear. Our hearts and minds must always be on the prize set before us, and that is eternal life, and to serve with God and Christ when the time comes for Christ to return to this earth. We must put to the side everything that deviates our purpose with God and Christ, and continue on the race, no matter how hard it gets, no matter the physical pain we feel, no matter the emotional pain we go through, and no matter what happens to us in our lives, God and Christ are there for us, brethren, and we must not quit. We must not lose our focus at all. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is hostile toward God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. The example written in these verses of Jesus Christ represents the requirement of having to go after the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. If we get concerned all of the time with what happens to us in the world regarding everything that is sinful and everything that takes our focus and attention away from God's way, we cannot be in the likeness of God, because sin is the enemy of God. We like to be preoccupied, worried, fearful, and overly concerned with what does not merit this much attention. I'm talking about the things of the world. And this much focus on the world is not spiritually healthy, emotionally healthy, and eventually not physically healthy for us as well. Our spirit needs to be focused on God first. The teachings and examples of His Son, Jesus the Christ. And we will be able to overcome the carnal mind and not lose focus at all. We must focus our hearts in the right place. We must focus our meditation and study of God's Word daily. We must focus on respecting the institutions set forth by God to mankind. And we must focus on the things which are from above, and not the things of this world. Let's conclude today's sermon in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 1 through 12. Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 1 through 12. It says, "In that day, this song shall be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He appoints walls and bulwarks for security. Open the gates, that the righteous nation may enter, the one who remains faithful. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low even to the ground. He brings it even to to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the righteous is smooth. O upright one, make the path of the righteous level. In the way of your judgment, O Lord, we have waited for you eagerly. The desire of our souls is your name, even your memory. With my soul, I have desired you in the night. My spirit within me seeks you diligently. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Though favor is shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he deals unjustly and does not perceive the majesty of the Lord. Lord, your hand is lifted up, but they do not see it. They see your zeal for the people and are put to shame. The fire of your enemies shall devour them. Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for you also have done all our works for us. That does conclude my message for today. I will turn services over to Mr. Fleming for a closing song and introduction of the closing prayer. Mr. Fleming.